Good morning, Game Guy fans. Today's Friday, August 7th, the year of our Lord 2026. My hair in the visor is back, as you can see. Back in the old days, the wild hair. I gotta go get a cut soon if you're watching on video on YouTube. Obviously, most of you are listening, and this is Coffee with JC Sherbert. It's the first day of South Carolina fall camp, preseason camp. I always have said through the years that yeah, and there's other people that are more militant about this than I am. I've kind of softened my stance. I started writing preseason camp a while back because it doesn't take place in the fall. But after further review, I mean, you're preparing for the fall. So maybe that's the argument for it. But I try to still say preseason. Preseason has more syllables. Fall's easier to say. It's also easier to write, but still one word. Anyway, first day of practice for the 2026 season. Real practice, in-season practice. How about that? For the Gamecocks. Jack Veltry, Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark, Gamecock Central, all those guys will be out at practice on the practice field today. We'll have complete coverage on thebigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com. We'll talk about it on the show, ITG, later today. Pretty good lineup. Phil Steele joins us. Rafael Esparza joins us. Jack Veltry. I call him Viral Jack because he went viral. He's fresh off the practice field, going to give us an update. Matt Anderson's in for the second and third hour to talk about some of his work with the analytics. He's got a piece he's working on right now about opposing receivers that I think is going to be very intriguing. Just the metrics. The Gamecock secondary, we don't talk about stuff like this a lot, but based on the individuals that are on the schedule, it's a challenge in the passing game. The good news may be there's a lot of new starting quarterbacks that they're facing. And sometimes that, if you have a good receiving core, but you don't have a guy that can get it to them, it doesn't matter. So we will see sort of what happens. Kind of the focus today going to be on the Shane Beamer press conference. And kind of a renewal theme here. Everybody could use renewal. And I think that while I'm less fired up about the first day of practice, number one, because back when I was covering practice, it was open and I'd got there and watch ball for a while and I was ready to do it for the first week. Then during the Spurrier era when it was open all the time, I mean, you get into that second, third week in August and it's like, man, ready for the games to start. But it's always exciting the first day to kind of see how guys look physically and all that. And trust me, if I could be, I would be out there with bells on, even for 15 minutes. I love it, it's football. But not as excited from that standpoint about, hey, I get to go do something or see something, but almost quietly, I'm ready for this because last year, as we know, with all men's sports at South Carolina, it was the worst year ever. I mean, people, and it's an off-season debate. We're in season now, but some would say 98, 99. I don't know about that. Just as far as the collective deal, and of the three, I think football was the most shocking. Baseball was picked 14th out of 16th by the Perfect Game people or experts or D1 baseball guys. Not that they're always right, but basketball I think was picked maybe what, 5th, 11th, 12th, maybe 14th. Were they picked last again and finished? They didn't finish exactly. They maybe picked last, not finished last. Gonna pick last again this year in basketball, but it doesn't matter. It kind of is what it is. As far as that, but my point is the expectations in those two sports were not as high as football. Ranked 13th in the country in the preseason, got up into the top 10, and then the bottom fell out. And it's almost like collectively with the fan base, and I think during the press conference yesterday, Shane Beamer was a little different in the press conference yesterday. Subtly, almost seemed like focused, intentional. Not that he like didn't want to be there, but just kind of like more, a little more businesslike. If you look at his face and how he answered the questions, He kind of went up there and went through some announcements and then took some questions, and that was that. Friendly and not mean or anything, but just he just and here's my opinion on what that means. Because he said this, gosh, a couple of weeks ago about not people ask him about not being picked high and all that good stuff, and he said, well, our guys hear it. I think he said used it for motivation, but he's like, our guys are just like, let's get out here, get to work, get to practicing, and then go play. And I think he used the phrase, leave us alone and let us just go do it. In life, I think sometimes when you do something, if you've ever done this, and I've done it plenty of times, maybe hitting, trying to play putt-putt or something, the mulligan, right? That's the word I'm looking for, mulligan. You hit a bad shot, and I hit plenty of them, or you do something and screw it up that you thought, well, I can do a lot better. Don't you want to like go right back and do it? I mean, you don't want to wait around. If it's something that you could have been better at, that you know that this was not acceptable, you know that this was falling well short of your potential and capabilities. You want to get back out and fix that as quickly as possible. I know I do that in my work. If I have a bomb of an article or episode, and I know it, and I was like, eh, disappointed in myself. I want to come back and do better the next time, and I want to do it quickly as possible. And so I think that's kind of the idea. I also think this, Beamer said something yesterday. About the players on the team, all, the ones that could have gone elsewhere to the NFL or to other colleges. And there's a lot of them that could. People may not believe that, but I mean, you don't think other, I mean, I know I have intel that other schools wanted Justin Onwuchekwue, but you don't think anybody would want Fred Johnson? Look at him. I mean, there's not a many linebackers that look like that guy and have the ability of that guy. And you may say, well, yeah, he was inconsistent last year or whatever. But now arrogantly, they'll be like, we can coach him up. It's just like, it's like NFL coaches. They want to do that. But and he's not that far off either. Young player last year. So definitely they would take him. Definitely you take Vakari Swain. You take Judge Collier. Heck, with some schools have massive issues at safety. They'd take Peyton Williams. They surely would take Dylan Stewart. They surely would take, I mean, Troy Pikes would have been, I mean, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, everybody needs D tackles. I believe Shedd Surratt. Some schools were calling about Shedd, behind the scenes. So there are a lot of guys that could have left. And, South Carolina NIL wise spent money, but they didn't. I mean, look at it. They were able to go. Trabian Robertson said he hand selected all the D tackles out of the portal that they got. Okay. You don't do that without resources. So it's not like Carolina even had to break the bank to get these guys back. I think that's culture, whatever. We had a big episode about culture. I'm not going to get into that word, but that's culture shining through. And he's absolutely right about that. And I think he deserves credit because around here, man, even when Carolina was winning, during the Spurrier era, guys were on the first bus out. I mean, or plane or automobile, plane, trains, automobiles, whatever you want to say, to go to the NFL. Sometimes they didn't get drafted. There were two in 2013. They were really good players that definitely could have helped in 2014 that chased the NFL dream, didn't get drafted. Part of that was Spurrier's philosophy was he didn't. So like Will Muschamp would give advice about it because Muschamp had, he's connected to the NFL. That's kind of his thing, the ball guy. And Beamer and their entire staff also work in collaboration with the NFL. They don't do, nobody recruits and says, don't go chase your dreams right now. You're not ready. But they get the feedback. They get this. And nowadays you deal with agents and stuff too. That's not easy because sometimes agents want to push them on up the ladder. But Carolina's players mostly all have really good representation, most of them. Selwyn Roberts is a guy that represents, I don't know him, but from what I've been told, is an excellent Excellent. I hope that's not how you pronounce his first name. I think it's yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I get it right because I've only read. I think that's his name, his first name. How you pronounce it? I think that's it. Gosh, I don't want to mess up an agent's name. It's just not something I want to do. But he's a guy that I've heard fantastic things about. He represents several Carolina players. So Carolina's fortunate in that department. Everybody's just kind of got this honesty about them. But Muschamp and Beamer are a little more involved. Spurrier was just like, well, if you want to go, shoot, and it wasn't that he was didn't care. It was that his opinion was, and he always thought players should get more money, part of the money, was that, hey, if you want to go make money, go do it. I'm not going to stop you. It was, peak capitalism, right? Peak America. And maybe that got kind of crisscrossed in a little bit of ways and stuff, and some players did. But a lot of times around here, it's been a situation where good players will come in and they're just out, meaning that their experience was good, but maybe not great. And losing last year is not a great experience, and they all stayed. I think that's if Carolina turns it around this year. That's probably more important than anything because there's a lot of good players on this roster. People are, what's the same players that went 4-8? Yeah, but there's not enough time in the episode to go through every single player and tell you why, individually, they had a hand in it or did not. Right. And there are 48 new players on the roster, so it's not the same players. Half the same players, hopefully the good half, right? Especially on the offensive line. By the way, go read Wes Mitchell's Carolina Confidential and Chris Clark's Insider Report this morning. It's very good stuff. Lots of stuff from Randy Clements, the offensive line coach. We're still running that special, $29.99 right now. That's $249 a month. You don't pay again until. We're talking about how good Jazavian Currents could be in year two at this point next year. GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com. Anyway, it's one of those things where most of the roster's new anyway, but the players that returned, I think, all have a shot. I listed some of them earlier that could have easily gotten into the portal. And so I think that Beamer's right about that it's not just him. Sitting there last year saying that they're going to make or be in the playoff hunt in 1 year, or it's not just him being defiant or having bravado. There's a lot of guys in that building who are, by the way, dang talented football players that have bought into that. It's an intangible thing. It doesn't necessarily mean when you line it up that Alabama's not going to not have fixed their issues. That you don't really see on paper because Kalen DeBoer does that. And doesn't mean they're going to go to Tuscaloosa and win. Doesn't mean they're going to beat Mississippi State. Doesn't mean they're going to win in the swamp. That doesn't guarantee outcomes, but what it does is it puts you in a position to where outcomes are way more realistic in a positive manner. And so I like that about it. Beamer also touched on the complex offense thing. Oh. I guess he disagrees that the offense was too complicated last year. Fair enough. I'm not gonna, it's his, he's there, it's his program. I do think this and something maybe I'm not, because I've defended Beamer. Everybody's talking about him getting fired last year. And after I kind of thought through it all, I was like, well, no, you don't want to. You got these players, there's really one problem or two problems you need to fix. You don't blow it all up over that. I don't think you blow it up until it's beyond repair. Would a 4-8 record this year mean it's isn't working? Probably. I mean, this team's got too many good players. You got too many good coaches to put that kind of result on the board, barring a catastrophic series of freak injuries that make this roster not what it is and then coaching can't overcome it. I'm not saying it needs to be playoff or gone. Some people have said that, but you can't go 4-8 again, obviously. But I've defended him. I thought it was an easy fix. But what I didn't kind of think about after all the talk about the offense and my opinion about Shula's offense and Satterfield's especially, and maybe a little Dowell here and there about it being too complex and about being NFL is based on conversations with a lot of people, I'll put it that way. I am confident, I'm confident that that's right. Okay. Not that Shane Beamer is wrong, though. Because, and what it does, I didn't think about this when it was that, when you talk about that criticism, because I didn't think I was criticizing Shane Beamer. This is a bad hire. Everybody makes bad hires. Go, hopefully he goes and fixes it. And he did. I actually, of all people, understood why he promoted Mike Shula. Because I thought, and I think Beamer thought too, they're just going to keep on doing what they were doing. That didn't happen that way. Different guy calling it, different philosophy, different coaching style, different playbook, right? Which was shocking that happened. But what I didn't think about, and he mentioned this, and look, I don't think this was, none of this was directed directly at yours truly. I think it was just a narrative that's out there. I think that what I didn't think about was, because I just focused on the offense and all, is that it kind of makes him look bad. And his quote yesterday when he said, like, it makes it, well, I would have, he said, if that was the case, I would have stepped in and fi and changed it. I wouldn't have made, let him do it. And as the head coach, yeah. So I'm not gonna question the guy on that. Maybe too complicated is a broad term that us folks outside of the football building use. Maybe it's just one of the hard to execute, not applicable conceptually to college football in 2026 with new players and all that. Because the conversation stemmed on the Lane Kiffin comment that we talked about yesterday with Chris Marler about Kendall Briles simplifying and all that. And I think Lane Kiffin's absolutely right. And Beamer said he agreed with Lane Kiffin. He said his players have told him that it's easier to learn, easy to learn. I don't think he said easier, easy to learn. But I mean, dragging up the past is not productive. And so I don't think I thought about the fact about how that reflected on the head coach. And some of you out there may be saying, well, yeah, it does. He needs to be, I think any head coaching decision, you're going to, especially with staff and how important coordinators are right now, you're going to take some heat regardless. You're going to take some heat if Kendall Briles only puts up 17 points against Florida and they win, and even Carolina wins. You're going to take, people take heat about that all the time. I mean, it's just part of it. But I guess it got lost on me, like me hammering that point home over and over that, boy, you're making, I mean, the head coach, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I felt a little bad about that because that wasn't my intent. I've never been hellfire and brimstone. On Shane Beamer at all. Like I said, I don't think he's talking about me. I don't know if he watches coffee or the show. But I do think that that is a narrative that's out there. And then I base it too on, I've seen it at other places. Okay. With almost the same personnel, with Rocket Sanders, who was nursing an injury. And then you hear some other things about the offensive scheme. Sam Pittman, Kendall left and goes to TCU, and he hires Dan Enos is a fantastic, well-respected offensive coordinator coach for Saban. RPO guy, helped the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl with their RPO stuff, but it's pro style, a lot of pro style elements. And KJ Jefferson looked lost, and Rocket Sanders just didn't play. Part of it was due to injury, part of it was not. You know, he leaves, gets fired mid-season. They get the wide receivers coach to call plays, who I think he kind of brought back the band together a little bit with some brow stuff. And Sanders runs for 123 yards in his home state, and they beat Florida at the Swamp. How bad do you have to feel if you're Billy Napier that day? It's a noon game at the Swamp. Keep that in mind. I've seen it at other spots. Alabama evolved, you know, from the kind of stuff. And, you know, Carolina wasn't lining up in the eye and, you know, running play action and stuff. I just, you know, it's just one of those things. If we don't want to say it was too complex and then Beamer did nothing to stop it, and he actually did. He fired Shula, I think, before the Alabama game. They made some adjustments with some things they were doing. So he should give himself a little more credit that he did get in there and try to fix it as the head coach. A lot of people think he meddles in the offense, and that's not true. Sometimes I think he doesn't meddle enough. I thought Will Muschamp didn't meddle enough in the offense. How about that? So defensive guys, though, maybe you don't want them meddling in the offense. I'll just run it and milk the clock and just punt it back to them, and we'll stop them. No problem, right? Let's win 10-6, guys. Let's get out here and have a great day. Put 11 points on the board. We'll get a safety, no problem. Just make sure you run a bunch of clock, thanks. But yeah, so I just thought about that. It hit me, and I was like, man, you know, I felt kind of bad because I think he's responsible for everything that goes on in the program. He said that. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be criticized. It's part of it. You know, when you're a head coach in the SEC, it's part of it. And I've been critical of him before, but maybe it's a little unfair in terms of hammering it home over and over. You know, and what I was hammering was the concept, the idea, and I'll apply this everywhere in college football. Shoot, I applied it to North Carolina. You know how much better North Carolina's offense is going to be next year simply because Bobby Petrino, a college offensive coordinator, is taking over? It's going to be much better. I promise you. I can assure you of that. You know, you look around. I mean, we'll talk about Marcus Satterfield again. You know, he goes to Nebraska, and Matt Rhule had to make a move there midseason, hire a guy that wasn't even coaching, Dana Holgorsen, to come in and take over. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, I thought maybe Carolina would be a lot like Colorado, and of course they were very pass happy when Pat Shurmur took over. He is an NFL guy and worked with Mike Shula. For Sean Lewis, who's a great college play caller, prime went in the opposite direction because of his kid, probably. And their offense, I don't know that it got better, but Shurmur did a great job. And I thought that's what they were getting with Shula. Apparently not. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of clarify that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go, ah, oh, Beamer's wrong. It is too complex. Well, maybe complex isn't the right word. Maybe it's just difficult to execute. But the bottom line is the players didn't get it. So it's something, and it's something that caused a new day on offense at South Carolina, you know, and I think that's what matters. 'Cause I think, you know, when you look at Kendall Briles and what he does, you know, and you look at the personnel South Carolina has, they weren't recruiting to like a pro style scheme. They just recruit the best players they can, which I think is smart, you know. And again, Shane Beamer's vision for the offense is adaptable, versatile, because you have different types of personnel every year. That allows you to go take the best players you can. I feel better about doing that in a Kendall Briles system than some of the previous ones. But you look at the personnel, and I think it fits what they do, especially at quarterback, man. And hopefully everything else gets starting today. Gets taken care of. You know, they're relatively healthy coming out of summer. Jackson Rapp, hate it for him. He's out for the year. He's some injuries. He's a fast receiver. I'm glad they took him out of Greenville. Lots of people that saw him play high school football were outstanding. By the way, high school football, Aaron Brand, Irmo head coach, 4 Quarter Friday, 9 a.m. If not, catch the pod. Catch the Pod. It's on Apple, Spotify, or catch it on YouTube, the Four Quarter Friday YouTube channel at Four Quarter Friday on YouTube. Just wanted to throw that in because it's coming up here soon. But people saw Jacksonville High School football, loved him, thought he was really good. So that's unfortunate there. Josh Smith from Dutch Fork is out with an injury in spring. Josiah Thompson, of course, will miss the whole year. And then the big two, Stewart and Peak, not going to practice but work out. Yeah. Curious to find out from Jack, what color jersey do they have on? And what does it mean? Carolina got a new football trainer, by the way, so maybe the color-coded jerseys are different. Check out GamecockCentral.com later today. We'll have practice photos. TheBigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com, the hub on three. From Katie, I believe Katie or CJ. New Nike practice uniforms. This is interesting. Yeah, yesterday, Pete Beamer had the swoosh on. Is it the swoosh? Did I call it a check mark the other day? Somebody texted me and told me that. I don't know. The swoosh. All right. So practice starting. That's good. Wanted to touch on those press conference notes. And this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. See you later on the show. I'm out. Holla.